Here we go. Again, another live stream, this time about Joe Burrow and T. Higgins. And Joe Burrow says he's ready to rumble. I'm confident I've put in the work I need to make sure I'm healthy in 2024. That the recovery that he's been recovering from the week 11 injury that required surgery on his wrist isn't even affecting his offseason. T. Higgins talking about that we'll see. He anticipates being in Cincinnati. He does want to be in Cincinnati. He does want to play with Joe Burrow, but he did request a trade last month, and we're going to talk about whether we think this will get ironed out or not. The Fantasy Football Show, Joe Burrow, T. Higgins, Bengal edition begins right now. I think our soundboard's not working, so I'll have to manually punch this one. Let's hit it one more time.
Live from the FantasyFootballShow.com studios. It's the Fantasy Football Show. Live! Monday through Friday, 8 p.m. Eastern. Smitty is also live whenever news breaks.
From the FantasyFootballShow.com news desk, here is your breaking news.
Joe Burrow ready for 2024. And let me read his exact quote so we get this one completely. I don't want to say we. Look, earlier, if anybody has any sort of problem with the Brandon Ayuk live stream, I want to apologize for absolutely nothing. Because all we did was come in here and show you the reports, and the reports ended up being wrong. It's weird that people actually demand and act like they deserve some sort of like retraction, apology. Your boy doesn't break the news. Your boy interprets the news. And this news right in front of your face, maybe this is wrong. Do I need to come with my hat in hand and apologize if Joe Burrow didn't say this? Like, at what point do we start saying, oh, we can't trust anybody? We have to report on it. I would do zero different. I would do nothing different on my Brandon Ayuk request to trade officially, which ended up not happening. I would do nothing different because that news was abundant everywhere. The Score reported it. Sleeper reported it. Then they all deleted it. They all deleted it. I went and did an update live stream, left my live stream, left my post where I said, look at the Scores reporting that Ayuk has officially requested a trade. Everyone's deleting everything. What's happened to journalism? What's happened to journalism? I don't understand why the integrity is going out the window for people in the reporting business. If you're going to come in and fire off a bunch of uncorroborated information and you are a big source, people are going to report on it. No one's going to confirm the confirmation of the confirmation, triple stamp, a double stamp. That's not what my job is to do. Even if the Score reported today that T. Higgins was requesting a second trade, we would come in and probably put it up. But you know what the Score's done? The Score, they deleted it. We're probably going to be a little hesitant to throw that up, but it's not just the Score's fault. It's a lot of people that reported on it. And some would say, oh, you did it. You did it. And it doesn't matter if it's fake news. It is still news that came from sources that we feel are deemed worthy enough to put up on a screen and talk about it because it was everywhere. Do you not trust the Sleeper news report and source that comes through your push alert on your Sleeper app? Is that if Sleeper says that Brandon Ayuk is now signing a 5-year contract and Sleeper reports it, what are we supposed to do? Sit on it? You got to be out of your minds. Out of your minds. I apologize for absolutely nothing, and we'll continue to do what we do here, which is break down the news as it comes in and even live tear it down and repost what's coming up and what's correcting that news and digesting it all live right in front of your face. Name another person. Smitty did a Shefty. You know what, Niners? We're done with Niners. Niners is nothing but negative constantly. There you go. You're gone. You're gone. Debo did it. Let's get to Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow said his recovery from last season's wrist injury. I'm confident I'm putting all the work I need to make sure I'm healthy for next season. Burrow suffered a season-ending injury in week number 11 and needed surgery to undergo that corrected wrist. And 10 games he appeared in, 2309, 15 touchdowns, 6 INTs, and completed 66.9% of his passes. He said his recovery hasn't really affected his offseason training, and he's in a great spot body-wise. There was some reports that suggested that Burrow would never be the same. There were some fantasy doctors that would come out and say that he'll never have the same strength or ability to throw the football or grip it. And then you hear reports like this where Burrow's like, my offseason was barely affected. Yeah, you guys, if anybody wants to be ultra negative all the time, you're eventually going to be not in a position to be here anymore. It's just the way it is, because like nobody needs somebody that's constantly trying to drag down the chat, constantly trying to drag down the content, constantly trying to drag down the channel, and then you try and disguise it. Oh, I just have a different opinion. No, you can't. You can only use that for so long, and that's what he was using every single time. What, I can't have my own opinion? No, it's not about having your... There's an open phone line, for goodness sake. What other show has an open phone line so you can voice your own opinion? Nobody. Who goes live when news breaks instantly? Not even enough time to see if there's retractions or false information. Nobody. So you're here for a reason. You're here for a reason. You're here, hopefully, because you love the on-demand product that this show puts out. And at some point, you continue to be negative and try and drag the chat down. We're not going to want you here because we're a positive group. Okay, Joe Burrow to the moon. I don't know that we can have the pancake stack, have the Houston Texan guys anymore, because quite frankly, these guys caught the cost of entry is crazy. But let me show you the pancake stack. We got the triple Houston Texan stack, which is technically a quad stack now. And then we've got the Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase stack. Honestly, the best stack in football is Burrow and Chase. I don't think there's any stack that compares. Why? Burrow's a 7th or 8th round pick. Ja'Marr Chase is, yeah, a round 1 pick, but he's a good value. He's going like a round 5, 6, you know, sometimes 7, sometimes 4, sometimes 5, sometimes 6. And it's something where, yeah, you're paying high dollar for a Chase, but you're paying almost free. It's almost the house's money. It's free. It's free money. In 6-7 for Joe Burrow. It is probably the most affordable big name stack you can find in fantasy, in my opinion, hands down. I still love the Houston Texans stack for what it's going to do, the damage it's going to throw down. But from a fantasy perspective, I don't know. Young says Niners was a horrible example of a real Niner fan. Now hopefully Smitty can see we aren't all like him, says Young. It's a good point.
The stack above all stacks.
Look at that.
It's
Look at
time to drop the pancake emojis in the live chat.
You know, Diggs, this is a quad stack on the left now. But I do believe Burrow and Chase are the best stack in football. As for the T. Higgins news, so I'm not concerned about Burrow. The gist of this is that Burrow says his offseason workouts were barely even hampered. And as far as T. Higgins is concerned, he was asked... Let me play the audio for you. Now, can you guys, just to make sure we're not reporting this wrong, okay? To make sure we're not reporting this wrong, can you guys listen to the audio and tell me if he's saying, we'll see at the beginning, okay? I think he's saying, we'll see at the beginning. I don't want to quote him wrong because people are going to lose their minds. He says, we'll see. And then he says, you know, I anticipate being here. But tell me what you think. Ready? Here we go.
We'll see. I do anticipate it, you know, since he's grown. We'll see. I do anticipate it, you know, since he's grown up.
Yeah, so I believe he's saying, I believe. I don't know. It's hard to make that out, but he says, we'll see. We'll see. No, I anticipate being here. So, like, yeah, he anticipates being there. If it is, we'll see. Can anybody corroborate, we'll see? Do we need to get 8 sources and somebody to get a sworn affidavit so that we know for a fact that he did say, we'll see? If he did say, we'll see, there is a little bit of, like, he's waiting on something. Break that down psychologically. We'll see means the ball's in their court, right? We'll see. You know, like, he's waiting, next move, Cincy. And then he corrects it in a way and says, well, I anticipate being here. So you can take that for what it is. Maybe he's saying, we'll see, to a different question. No. Yeah, no, he says, we'll see. No, I do anticipate it, since he's, you know, I love it, whatever he said right there. It's hard to make out, though. But again, the breaking down of what he said and what it means, hard to say. We're guesstimating at this point. But I do believe he still believes that the ball's in the court of the Houston or the Cincinnati Bengals. He's fully wanting something to happen, whether it's a contract. Whether it's I don't think he wants a trade. I think he does want a contract. But the problem is he wants big time money. I don't know if he's settled on that he gets top 10 to 12 money, even 9 to 12, 8 to 12. When you really think about it, 8 to 12, you know, will not be 8 to 12 one calendar year from now. It'll be well outside the top 10. The money goes up every single year. So if he was to get top 8 wide receiver money, It's only natural to get a little bit more than you probably deserve, because the very next year you're falling down 4 or 5 spots anyway. So I don't know what to make of this. I honestly wouldn't be surprised if the Bengals out of nowhere, like we said last night, just like sign him. You know, and we're like, wow, you know, that was kind of crazy out of nowhere. Cardinals said they weren't going to give Kyler Murray an extension, and they did. The same offseason, not too long after. So you never know. You never know. Teams call a player's bluff in order to try and get them to come down on their request. And maybe we're not going to hear all the back end conversations. Maybe T. Higgins will come down on his monetary request and settle in somewhere where we think, oh, the Bengals folded, when the Bengals have just been waiting for him to accept one of their offers. Tough to say. What's going on here? Higgins going elsewhere. Bengals would need a wide receiver. Ayuk. Ayuk's still in the cards. I don't want anybody to think because Ayuk's agent. So if anybody missed it earlier, there was a news report that broke in like 12 different relatively big name sources. Sleeper picked it up, who's getting fed news by, I think, RotoWire. And so that really probably, I don't know if that actually came from, I don't know which source that gets fed into Sleeper. It's kind of not Sleeper's fault that they delete it, I guess, if it goes away from the feed. But they still have a source that's putting out information and then deleting it, whoever is responsible for putting the report out. The score, we've got that report right here. Again, this was from The Score. This was the original report that said Brandon Ayuk has requested a trade from the Niners. This is from The Score, and then The Score deleted it after, which I don't think is the proper way to play the journalism game. And quite frankly, I think it's going to put a damper on the fact that this is not, you know, the conversation right now is going to be that, oh no, see, it's positive. He doesn't want to get traded, but it's merely the fact that he didn't request it officially. I truly believe that his camp is looking and aiming to request a trade this coming week. And I even said last night, I think Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday, I was kind of shocked that we heard something on a Sunday. I was kind of shocked that we weren't hearing Schefter or Rappaport report about it. But we still are going to go live if everyone, including Sleeper and RotoWire and The Score and everybody's putting it out there. And just because they delete it doesn't mean that it was a mistake to report on it. The amount of people that have come to me and said, Smitty, you should have waited, or Smitty, you got to wait for Rappaport, or give me a break. Give me a break. If the Sleeper app right now said Ayuk signed a 5-year deal worth, you know, $100 million, Everyone, every Niner fan in here, every Niner would be like, did you hear the news Ayuk signed? Everybody, it'd be reported everywhere. Get out of here with that. That makes no sense whatsoever. So I still think to the question that Nolan had, or the comment he had saying that the Bengals might be looking for a wide receiver, I don't think so that Ayuk's heading there, but I do think Ayuk is still potentially going to request a trade. This soft request could have been by design and planted too. Everybody acting like just because it didn't come from his agent's mouth, that this wasn't potentially floated. This wasn't somehow a small conversation that got blown out of proportion. There's still a very strong chance, that Ayuk requests a trade next week and follows the Deebo Samuel blueprint, which is not a good one to follow because Deebo didn't have a good season at all because of the holdout and the lengthy process that is playing out right now. I think a lot of people are going to take this reversal of the trade request as if things are going better. They're not really going better. And if anything, this does apply that pressure, that maybe needed pressure that the Niners are like, holy crap, if this was a trade request, look at the drama. And that might be the plant. That might be the objective in all of this. And here are all these people thinking that this isn't real when it might have a little bit of legs to it. We don't know. It's all guesstimation. As far as like if Ayuk were to get traded, he's not going to Cincy because Cincy, if they were going to pay Ayuk all that money, they'd just pay T. Higgins all that money. So Nolan, I don't. Only said the Bengals in theory. I just don't think it's going to happen because why would they not pay the guy that knows their offense, a guy they love, a guy they trust? I don't think they look at Ayuk as better than Higgins, even though some of you might. I think the Bengals say that's our guy and we do want to sign him. We just don't want to give him top five to seven wide receiver money. And Ayuk is going to cost more because you're not going to get a trade, right? So what are you going to do? Let Higgins walk? Like in some sort of low ball trade, essentially, you trade them away just to get rid of them and give up draft capital for Ayuk. That's not going to happen. The Bengals will either trade Higgins away and go after a rookie like a Dunze or a Brian Thomas Jr. or a Keon Coleman, something like that, or a McConkey even. They could go after a player like that. They might even still do that with their draft selection right here because the Bengals have 18 overall. They could trade T. Higgins away. And if they wanted to, and replace him with a McConkey, with a potentially get a Brian Thomas Jr., or at least a Keon Coleman, Malachi Corley, Leggett, all these guys. Leggett would be fantastic. Malachi Corley would probably be the best fit, maybe, I think. Keon Coleman would be interesting, but I think Malachi gives the kind of contrast between Ja'Marr Chase stretching the field, Malachi all over the middle of the field, the yak monster, the potential Deebo Samuel that can play really anywhere. Malachi Corley is a freaking phenom, a yak yardage machine, much like Deebo, even though they play very different in some ways, and Malachi can play any position. So I don't want to hear things like, oh, the Niners, when I said the Niners should draft Malachi Corley if they in fact get rid of Ayuk in a trade, because Malachi Corley can play all over and he plays like Deebo. We don't need two Deebos. I'm not saying he's exactly Deebo. I'm not saying they have to play in the same position. Malachi can go all over the place. Malachi's a fantastic player. Blackbeard says, I love the fact that you don't always wait first to break news. Two live streams today already. Appreciate you. Look, I'm not always going to predict things right either, you know? Like, and I'm not saying my prediction or anything I had to do with this morning was inaccurate, because I really don't believe that. I would come in here with my hat in hand and say I messed up this morning. But we reported on something that was significantly out there being reported on by sources we would never hesitate to report on. But we also bring an objectivity to it that if we didn't trust it, and I'm not saying I did fully, but I didn't distrust the amount of information we saw. You can only roll with it. You sit back and wait for a triple and quadruple confirmation. You sit there and go, okay, the score's reporting it. Like, think about this logically. If you're a Niner fan in here and you think, oh, Smitty really jumped the gun, think about this and answer the damn question. You're sitting here. You have a show like mine, and Sleeper says Ayuk requested a trade. The Score says Ayuk requested a trade. All these different reporters that are not huge like Schefter, but they're like, you know, 100,000 followers, 80,000 followers, beat writers everywhere. And you got all these people reporting on it. You're just going to what? Say, I'm going to wait. No, you're not. You're not. And you have no reason to. You have every right in the world to believe that this is worth reporting on. Because guess what? I don't lock anything in for sure. I'm reporting what's out there. I report the way the wind blows. And while we were 2 minutes into the live stream, the wind blew in a different direction. While we were live. If I would have waited, and I'm glad I didn't, I wouldn't change a thing. That was a fun live stream. The direction that thing took was amazing. It was entertaining as hell. I wouldn't change it even if I could. But if I would have hit the go live button 4 minutes later, I would have saw it all stopped and actually not hit it and corrected my graphics, corrected everything, and come in going, okay, we got a little controversy. It looks like Debo didn't request a trade, even though these reporters said they did. What's going on here? And we would have broken it down that way. I don't have a single regret over going live on it, and I'll continue to do it. I won't change a thing. We didn't do a single thing wrong in here. And everybody else that thinks that we did, there's no roll call here. You don't have to watch. You don't. You don't have to if you don't want to. We're here every day, though. I highly doubt you don't want to watch because we're here every day. Who else is here every day? The answer is nobody. Not the way we do it. What do I think happens with Burrow? Glory. Do I think Burrow is going to be hampered by his wrist that some fantasy doctors out there that have talked about it say that he's going to be restricted, maybe never have the same grip, not be able to throw? Not worried about it. Joseph Cigar Smoking Burrow is going to be smoking cigars and throwing footballs like he used to. No concerns whatsoever. Jamar Chase, Joe Burrow, that is the best stack in fantasy football. Do I think T. Higgins is a Bengal? I'd say 65%, 70% chance he will be a Bengal on the franchise tag. The remaining part of that, or even you could say 40%. Let's break it down like this. This is my breakdown of T. Higgins. Okay? So T. Cincy on tag equals 40%. Trade, I would say, Fifty percent on the tag, 25% that he's traded, and then new contract, new deal. We're gonna say 25%. That's how I feel. That's my gut right now. T, 50% plays on the tag, 25% he's traded, 25% he gets a brand new deal. The reason this is so low in my mind, this 25%, is because he's asking for the world. Now, if he comes to terms that he's not a top 5 to 7 wide receiver, this could vault up to, this could take, you know, this percentage down a ton. Like maybe this goes to 25 and this goes to 50. If, let's say, he comes in with a different attitude and a reassessment, like nobody's offering, you know, he wants a trade. He wanted a trade. Nobody's coming and knocking. His market's not there like he thought it would be. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. I still think there's a chance he gets traded, but there's 25% here. But nobody's coming and knocking because guess what? He costs draft capital, massive draft capital, on top of a big contract. I don't know. If you really think about it, that is not an attractive player to go get. Look at all these teams that have the ability to draft Leggett. He's practically free. Malachi Corley, he's practically free. This is a wide receiver pool like we've never seen before, or at least for a long time. And so teams are going to look at free rookies before they ever consider paying big money for Higgins. Part of me thinks that even if Higgins were offered free of charge, no draft capital necessary, we'll trade you him for absolutely zero draft picks. Here you go. Deal? There's a lot of teams that would say no because, I mean, they take him on the tag and let him play probably if they could afford that. But my point is, if it required the long-term deal, these teams might say, look, we've got enough draft picks to fill our wide receiver room. We want cheaper guys. we do not want to pay T. Higgins $100 million in a $60 million guaranteed deal. We don't want to do it. So imagine finding the right suitor that's willing to trade massive draft capital to the tune of at least a couple second rounders or a second and a fourth for T. Higgins, and then they got to pay him $100 million, 50, 60 guaranteed. That's why I say 25%. That's why this is not a higher number, but 25% is still a significant number. T. Higgins on the, we'll call him Tiggins. T. Higgins on the tag, 25% if he comes to terms with his new value because no one's coming and knocking. If he stands on business and he says to himself, you know what? I don't care what other teams do want to do. And maybe teams have inquired, but the Bengals just don't like the trade capital that's being swapped, but maybe there's going to be a contract that's waiting for him. He might say, I'm sticking firm on this, or at least I'll meet a little bit closer, but I'm sticking firm. This could remain 50% that he has a new deal, or it could go to 25% and this could go back up. In my mind, these are my guesstimations, 50% on the tag. Do I think there's a world where he holds out? I would say 0%. 0% he holds out because he will make no money and he can't afford that. And he's getting paid handsomely. At the end of the day, he's getting top five money at the position for 1 year. Yes, no security, but who's going to turn down getting paid versus sitting on your butt when you're going to get paid top five wide receiver money for one calendar year? This is going to be a lot of money T. Higgins is going to make in 1 year, and then he gets to reset, you know, his market anyway in the offseason. Because the odds of franchise tagging T. Higgins 2 years in a row, even if he does really, really well, if he was like the best receiver in the league, they would again, or sign him to a new deal. But unless he does that, they're not going to franchise tag him a second time because the cost goes up by about, I think, 20% of the franchise tag to franchise tag a player twice in a row. So that's pretty much everything on these fronts. Kind of covered the Ayuk situation, the fact that it was falsely reported or jumped the gun, potentially, we don't really know, by several sources. We went live on it, and within 2 minutes in the live stream, saw the updates. We obviously reported on the updates. None of that was done in crazy fashion, despite the haters that want to hate on the way this channel operates, where we break news when it happens. And if it was fake news, that's not something that's on us. It's not something that's on me. And I wouldn't change a thing the way we did it, because these were reliable sources and many of them remain reliable. But I'll tell you this, if the Score reported today that Brandon Ayuk signed a 4-year deal worth $100 million and it was $65 million guaranteed, and the Score reported it right now, everyone and their mother would be reporting on it. They would probably say, I don't know about this one, because they've maybe burned a bridge in a way, maybe caused some hesitation. I would certainly go live and say, wait a minute, question mark in the title. This is the same source we used this morning that got it all wrong, but this is being reported. So, yeah, buddies. Phone lines are open. Dial in, call into the Grind House phone lines. We can talk Joe Burrow, we can talk T. Higgins, we can talk Jamar Chase, we can talk Cincinnati Bengals, we can talk Brandon Ayuk, we can talk anything you want. Phone lines are open. Dial into the Grind House phone lines. Go.
Call into the show. Call into the show.
Grind House phone lines are open, ladies and gentlemen. Dial in. Your boy is here to assist you. I work for you, plain and simple, no doubt about it, no hesitation, no equivocation. I work for you. Dial on in. Let me just hit this button here. I would love to chat about any of these topics, even if it's the Ayuk stuff again. It's fine. Hit me up. I'm ready for your questions. I'm fine with differing opinions. Different opinions don't scare me one single bit. It's all about respect. It's all about, are you bringing respect to the table? Or are you coming in to be a disruptor and hater in the community? 703, who is this? Where are you calling from?
Calling from Roanoke. This is Asher.
Oh, from where?
Roanoke, Virginia.
Oh, Virginia. Asher, what's up, Asher?
How's it going?
Good.
I just wanted to talk about how good this wide receiver class is.
Very good. Very good, bro.
It's I think it's the best ever.
It's definitely going to be one of them. I mean, at the end of the day, will it be? We don't know. There have been many a class. The JJ class was fantastic. But yes, this is off to a good start because Adunze, Neighbors, and Marvin Harrison Jr., one of them could be as good as JJ, and there are people arguing to lesser degrees as you go down, like majorly arguing that MHJ is the next JJ. Some arguing that Neighbors, not everybody, but like I'd say 20%, 30% of the population feels like Neighbors might be better than Marvin Harrison, so that means he could be as good as JJ. And then you got like this 5, 10%, maybe 5%. And I'm kind of in the camp that Odunze has near as much upside. He's just got a little bit more floor. He's lower floor. He could bust. He could be more likely to bust on that expectation, but Odunze could be the number one. So therefore, you're literally saying there's a chance different, you know, drops in likelihood of all three of these guys being a top five wide receiver, which is crazy. Yeah, will it happen? No, exactly. Probably not. But there's an argument to be made for each one of them at a certain level. It's a great, and this is just the top three. I mean, Leggett, right. Malachi Corley, McConkey, Ricky Parasol, Keon Mitchell, Keon Coleman, AD Mitchell.
Receivers. Oh, I mean, man.
Worthy. I there's a lot of upside. Tremendous amount.
It's got to be affecting Higgins and Ayuk if they're looking for trade partners.
For sure. I mean, at the end of the day, why would you trade massive draft capital and pay $100 million to any one of Higgins or Ayuk at the end of the day? I'd rather have McConkey. I know an Ayuk fan's going to be like, what? But I'd rather just have McConkey or... I mean, he's a great receiver. I don't know.
Yeah. And then you got, you know, any guy in the second round you're going to take has got, you know, great upside. There's a lot. And then people aren't even talking about Brendan Rice or McCaffrey. I sent you a little song about the wide receiver class.
Oh, you did? You did? This is one of our is this on IG?
Yep.
Okay, finally you're sending them on IG. All right, you want me to play it when you leave?
Sure, yeah. Okay, I've just been super swamped, roasting my butt off with coffee, this coffee business I started, and just finally got a song over to you, Smitty.
So attaboy.
Appreciate everything you do.
Rock out and Asher, they're the two, they sing us, you know, lullabies about fantasy football. Hey, Asher, give me off the top of your head, give me a coffee that I would enjoy if I absolutely cannot stand coffee, because I hate coffee. It tastes like charcoal. Or it tastes like gravel to me. I have zero desire to drink coffee. Is there a coffee I would drink?
If you go to asherscoffee.com, you can order for me. And if you make a cold brew, turn that into a nitro, maybe add a little maple syrup, it'll taste just like a Coca-Cola.
That sounds like a lot of work, bro. That sounds like Virginia? You're in Virginia? How the hell do I can't.
Yeah.
If I'm ever there,
I know.
If I'm ever there,
closer, man, I'd make you one.
Send me the instructions in an Instagram message, and then tell me where I can go to get it, if it's Starbucks or whatever, and I will go try it on a live stream.
I will spit it out all over the place. You definitely want something that you know, is locally roasted, as fresh as you can get it. If you're making your own, that's the way to go.
Rather get a half order of bacon, a Mexican Coke, and a potato loaded with sour cream and bacon and two eggs on the side. I don't know. I'd be headed toward delicious. The coffee shop and I'd turn and go to the breakfast spot every time.
All right, not for everybody.
All right, Asher. Yes, sir. Appreciate you later.
Appreciate you. Take care.
All right, here's his song, Asher.
Yeah, just having fun on my day.
Here.
This is best fantasy draft that we can ever ask for.
This is the best year for NFL teams too. Just look at the receivers. You got Roman Dunsay, and you got Harrison Jr., and you got Neighbors, and you got Worthy, who's just a broke a freaking record.
Asher dropping. I don't know. We're gonna lose Asher. He's gonna get signed by Monday.
To the moon.
He's gonna get signed by Monday. He's gonna get taken from the channel before we even have a chance to have him create a part two of that. Asher, appreciate you for dropping the the song and the coffee. Asher's coffee can't be wrong. Anyway, you need white coffee. I've never heard of that. I don't even know what that is. Patriots should try trading for one and draft. So he, Travis makes a good point. The only team that I think should be going after Ayuk or Higgins. Someone wanted to know if that was Adam Sandler. Was that the radio? I don't know. It might have been the radio. I might have turned the radio on and forgot to play Asher's song because that sounded like a hit. Patriots, yeah. Any team that doesn't have a draft slot to get both a quarterback and a wide receiver, that's when you trade for Ayuk or Higgins. So New England, take your quarterback. You don't have the pick. I mean, you might in the second round, you still could get a wide receiver, but you're not going to get one of the big top dogs. So I get it. New England, Ayuk. Washington, I don't know. The Giants, draft a quarterback, trade for Ayuk. Draft a quarterback, trade for Higgins. New England and the Giants are the two most likely teams. KC could, but again, are you better off trying to get Ladd McConkey for free than trading for Higgins or Ayuk? I don't know. I guess you could make an argument once you get to 30. Once you get to 30, Buffalo, Baltimore, and KC. So really the only teams that seem viable to me, even the Steelers don't make sense because they have such a high draft pick, like, to be honest. So I don't know that at the end of the day, Ayuk's in Pittsburgh, but it seems to be where he maybe wants to go. But here are the teams that could have Ayuk or Higgins. Pittsburgh, KC, San Francisco. Complications if it's Ayuk, because why do the Niners want to trade into San Francisco? But KC, to KC. Why would the Niners want to trade KC to San Francisco? Or, you know what I'm saying. KC, Baltimore, Buffalo, Pittsburgh, New England, and the Giants. Those are the only teams that should be looking into or will be considering, in my opinion, even if it's a millisecond, an Ayuk or Higgins trade. I didn't mean to keep saying San Francisco. They're obviously involved, but they're trading them away. Those would be the places. No one else has any business doing it, because you don't need a quarterback, or you're not drafting so late that the wide receivers maybe not comparable to Higgins or Ayuk. I still think you can make the argument, though, that a wide receiver here will be comparable, but I could understand, you know, why you might want to roll with that. Asher dropping it, dropping some fire. Just straight fire. Rock out. You gonna listen to that? Rock out. You gonna put up with that? Asher just stepped all over your turf, pissed all over it, tried to claim his territory. Rock out has been the rock out in chief here for a while, and Asher just came in and pissed on your territory. Rock out. It's your move. Your move, Rock out. No one wants the Chiefs to get better. Absolutely agree with you. It makes it hard for really either the Bengals especially, but it makes it hard for the Bengals or the Niners to make a trade if the Chiefs are one of the top teams, right? But Buffalo, I don't think they're that scared to trade him to Buffalo. Buffalo's got nobody at wide receiver on paper, at least. I mean, Shakir, Curtis Samuel, we like those guys. Kincaid, we love. But it makes sense. All right, Chris from Vegas. What's up, Chris?
Hey, Manny, how you doing?
I'm good, bro.
Hey, so I've been catching up on a lot of the streams lately, and something I kind of wanted to bounce off of you and get your opinion on is So I know there's a lot of debate about Caleb and his leadership style or lack thereof. But my question is like, over the next, say, I don't know, 5 years, you know, how many more Calebs do you think we would see as far as like the Gen Z players that are up and coming, you know, from college and whatnot? And, you know, do you think that's something that might become like, I don't want to say the norm, but more, you know, an occurrence more of? Because I saw a Duke player got an NIL deal for Sally Hansen fingernail polish. So I'm just kind of wanted to get your input on that. You know, do you think that's something that we'll see, you know, become more prevalent, you know, going forward?
You mean just like the tendency, the quirkiness that everybody's claiming Caleb has? Yeah, right. I don't think so.
You think more players would be open about it?
No, I don't think so. I think we're going to always have, I mean, think of Dennis Rodman. You know, Dennis Rodman was as quirky as you could get. And that was way ahead of his time, you know, and he was very, you know, spotlight, you know, could have driven a lot of people to express themselves that way. I don't think we're going to see the quarterback position is such a gritty position. It's such a commander role. It's such a leader of, you know, of the locker room and leader of the team. And just, I think you're traditionally going to get a little bit of an old school mentality to that, gravitate to that position. This is partly why I don't see it working out, because it doesn't fit the bill. But are there outliers? Yes. Someone made a good initial comment till you really think about it. And they're like, would you picture Mahomes being, you know, the best quarterback in the National Football League if you saw him walking down the street and he went, hey guys, how you doing? You go, no, probably not. But at the same time, the parts that he does bring to the table, leadership, commanding everybody and just hard work, tenacity, like getting down to business, regardless of how his voice sounds, you know, or like he does, you know, exude those things. So I think at the end of the day, Mahomes does fit the bill. It just, you know, it's kind of like Tyson Fury. Like if we sent aliens video footage of Tyson Fury and we said, here is the strongest man of our kind, they would say, okay, we were going to send 7 ships to go take over Earth. Let's just send one. We only need to send one. This is their leader. His name's Tyson Fury, and he looks like he can't fight anybody. But, you know, Tyson Fury is absolutely a force, a machine. There are potential, you know, I think developments in how people carry them. So like, what about the man bags or whatever? Like, I would never wear a man bag, but LeBron wears one, all the NBA player, all the stars wear them. Like, so there's definitely like, if you're an old school person, you might see a man bag is I would never wear one. I would never wear one. I'm too old school for that. I still have, like, a little bit baggy shorts. Like, I don't have shorts that hug my, you know, like I'm wearing underwear like the young kids do. It's, you know, I don't show my thighs everywhere when I go to a restaurant. And, but that doesn't make those people bad. It's just, I am a different generation. Get off my lawn. But I don't think it's going to change into something where everyone's got nail polish and purple hair and everything at the quarterback position. No, I don't see that.
Yeah. I was just wondering, you know, cause we have to take into account, you know, when we're drafting fantasy players, you know, as much as we want to say, you know, don't judge a book by its cover, the title of the book still matters. And, you know, we kind of have to take into account that player's personality traits and, you know, what we can see from the outside looking in. So I was just wondering, you know, I just wanted to get your opinion on that just to make sure that I wasn't like, creating a dinosaur mentality for myself.
No, I mean, like at some point we can't become our parents. Like where we look at our parents and they're like, just, they say such old fashioned things. And we're like, you know, if like, God, you're so old, like you get with the times or whatever. Like, I don't know. As you get older, you start to realize you are becoming your parents in some way. Like you start to do those things. So you're not wrong to like self check. And am I creating a stupid stereotype for myself that's going to make me miss fantasy football evaluation? Like, you know, you got to be careful. You know, maybe painted nails becomes a regular thing by everybody, and we'll notice it. If it becomes a trend that is absolutely like accepted by every manly man out there that's a commander of men in a huddle. Like, we won't necessarily copy it. I'm not, like, is LeBron, oh, I guess LeBron James is a crybaby. If Kobe Bryant had a man, I don't think Kobe Bryant would have a man bag. Did he ever have a man bag? Can anybody ever confirm if Kobe Bryant ever wore a man bag? It's probably ahead of his time a little bit. And I don't think those were even popular back when Kobe was around. Rest in peace, Kobe. Damn. But, like, name somebody that has a man bag that's a man. Like, Debo has one, right? I love Debo. Debo's a man's man. Debo has one, I think. And do I look at Debo in a bad way? No, I've accepted that is just what a lot of rich players, athletes, people in Hollywood, they could afford. It's like a way of, like, showing how much money you have in fashion. I think it looks freaking ridiculous. Shaq has one. Okay. I don't know how that looks. Does that look like a little... On Shaq, is it like a tiny... You probably can barely see it. Probably looks like a belt buckle. But I don't know. I think we'll notice if it's a trend. But I don't think... I think crying in mama's lap in a little ball in the fetal position, that probably won't get popular.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, when I saw that... I mean, I watched that game live and then they showed it. You never want to, like, bag on a guy for being emotional, but I just, putting myself in his shoes the best that I can, I just couldn't picture myself doing that, like, around all those people, the general public, you know, just being there in the stadium.
Yeah, like, if we heard maybe he cried in his mom's arms after or something, like, I don't even think I'd go there. I think I'd be like, I don't know what's true, and, I has anybody ever been emotional behind closed doors? There's nothing wrong with that. I'm not saying you climb in your mom's lap. I'm just saying, like, I don't know that I'd even go there. I think I'd just, like, I don't really know. We didn't see it. Like, what are we going to do? Talk about something somebody said? But the fact that he did it in front of everybody, that's not crying. Like, that was weeping. And it's like, you know, I don't know if Joe Burrow did that. Can you imagine? Like, what if Joe Burrow crawled up and, like, you know what I mean? Like, I know Joe Burrow's older, but he's not that much older. Ziggy, how old is Joe Burrow?
Joe Burrow is 27 years old.
So, and was born Ziggy, on off. 27 years old versus Ziggy. How old is Caleb Williams?
Caleb Williams is 22 years old.
Okay, so Ziggy, off. They're 5 years apart. That's not a long time, by the way. That's not a long time. So if you picture Joe Burrow after a game crawling into mama's arms in her lap and crying, are we giving Caleb a pass because he just got out of college, but he's a grown man and he's 22 years old? He's not a kid. He's not a kid. He's 4 years away from being kind of still a kid breaking into, you know, being a man. 4 years away from that. If Joe Burrow crawled into his mom's lap, I would take him off of the pancake stack. And I would have to.
Mama's lap while he cries his cigar out.
Yeah, it'd be different if like if someone's sick and you're in, like, that's different. This is about him losing a football game, which is serious to me. I hate when people say it's just a game. People take, like, when even Matthew Berry and a lot of other people, when Hamlin died on the field and got revived, people came out and said some pretty harsh things about my industry, and they said, this isn't important. This is just a game. And I went, excuse me. I care about Hamlin too. This isn't, I can chew gum and talk at the same time, but I'm not going to talk bad about what I do for a living and belittle it like it's not important, or that people don't count on me or rely on me, or that I don't have a service I take extreme pride in. And just so I can say that somebody's life's way more, like, not saying a life isn't more important than going live or something, but when people would tell me, what are you doing talking about news the day after? You shouldn't even be doing a live stream. Like, get out of here. Get out of here. The world moves on. You know how many people get in car accidents or innocents get run over by cars or hurt or worse? every single day. Like, I'm not saying we don't feel bad about him. We went live. We were very compassionate. We did a live stream. Call back again, Rock Out or whoever that was. We were very compassionate about it when it happened. We were. I was very careful. I made sure we just talked about that. I'm not saying I forced myself to, but we were very compassionate about it. But I couldn't stand when people were like, this doesn't mean anything. And people were like, they didn't want to say it. I said it for them. We still have a lot of fantasy football and important stuff to us on the line right now. You're just going to call the game? You're just going to cancel football? Like, someone got hurt. I get it. It's important, but we're just going to cancel everything and ruin the entire season? Like, I'm just saying, nobody's talking about anything now. It's everybody loves to be emotional. Everybody loves, it's like the people you see crying during a big tragic event, but they really have no ties to anybody and they just love to be emotional. Like, I feel like people took it way too far and started to ridicule people that could chew gum and walk at the same time. I could be very compassionate, but I still could talk about my job. And I didn't feel bad about doing that. And I was made to feel bad about moving on while still addressing it. Prayers up, constant thinking about him, of course. Anyway. 5 years is
huge. That was it. You know, I just wanted to kind of do like a self check, just make sure I wasn't, you know, putting too many emotions of, you know, or personal emotions into, like, you know, the fantasy aspect of things.
No, we just got
to get your opinion on that.
We got to take it, you know, I guess year by year, situation by situation, act by act. If painting nails becomes, you know, super popular, like, can I admit something? In track and field in high school, I had hot pink shoes that I wore because they distracted people. It was something that was cool back, you know, when I was in high school to have like a crazy bright shoe. And it wasn't pink. It was like that really like neon pinkish red almost. And I had those, they were super bright. And I wear those things out and just, it would intimidate people because they would be like, this guy doesn't give a shit. And I walk right out onto the track with these bright reddish, almost pink shoes, and I'd freaking torch everyone. And so, like, I'm sure my parents were like, what in the hell are you doing wanting this pink shoe, son? You know, like, so right. Everything's different. Every generation's different. You know, would I be ridiculed for that today? Maybe. I don't know. But I don't.
I mean, baseball catchers have been using fingernail polish for years.
Yeah, I'm not against the fingernail polish necessarily. Like, if I saw Cam Newton, of course he's got bird hats, and God, that guy looks like the Wicked Witch. I swear that's the biggest mofo. He that guy could beat up anybody. I don't know if you saw that fight he got in when there was like four guys. They couldn't even move him. He was tossing him around. Part of me wonders if Cam, I know this is going to be a hot take, but part of me thinks that Cam Newton could have played ball a little bit longer, and that he was so easy to hate and hate on. And when the New England Patriots cut him, he was actually better than Mac Jones. He was the best quarterback in the New England Patriot room, and he should have been the starter walking into the season. But Bill cut him to get rid of the drama and the competition and to get Mac in his own head and not out of his head. I believe that, like, you put Cam in that Niners offense, you would have won games and would have been competitive. And I know it's not a popular take, but Cam Newton was such a big dude. And he's such a force, and he's a total ridiculous attention seeker now that it's like, it just fuels into that. Oh, see, he is a bust. He is a weirdo. But him and Rodman, and there's always been weird guys that dress super weird and just, they agitate people, and people love to pretend they're worse than they are or like to hate on them. Anyway, Cam Newton wasn't what I was talking about. If let's say Jalen Hurts had nail polish on his fingers, would I go at him? No. Would I have gone at Caleb for nail polish alone? No. But like, he had the pink phone, the nail polish, the crying and weeping in mama's arms, the constant Hollywood vibe and other things that come along with that were like the sum total that just made people go, okay, what is going on here? That's it. It's not judgment or anything. It's just like, is he just a showboat? Like, does he just want people to be like, look at this guy. He's always so different and he wants attention. That's what makes people like gravitate toward it. I don't think nail polish by itself would do it. Maybe Jaden Daniels has one green or purple. He'd do purple for colors. He'd have one purple nail on the end. I don't know. What if he did? I don't think you could judge him just by that. You know, purple hair, bleach blonde hair was a thing back in the day. Now, if you bleach your hair, it looks crazy. So.
Now I know it's two different positions, but the person that I compare Caleb to, just based on personality from what I can see so far coming out of college and whatnot, is Odell. I feel like they both have that Hollywood mentality.
Yeah. Yeah, Odell mixed with a little Drew Locke, mixed with a little Johnny Manziel, mixed with a little Josh Rosen. I think all those busts that you compiled together, especially quarterbacks, and Ryan Leaf, that's why I think a lot of us feel bust is coming, because we can't shake how similar and eerie it is. Even if it's a little different, that this vibe feels very red alert. Like, sound the alarms of not focused, too into himself, and loves drama and attention. And you wonder how he's going to jive at the NFL level. And then the crying in mama's arms just put it all over the top. And the people that are really behind him are the Chicago Bear fans, or just people that might have been prospective Caleb Williams QB1 dynasty and Debbie and you know, believers, and they just kind of have been all along for the ride the entire way, and they don't really want to derail because they've invested too much receipts out there and conversation. And it's like, it's hard for a human being psychologically to support somebody for 3 or 4 years, put all that out there, even if nobody remembers it, but you said it, you said it, and you don't want to be wrong. It feels very bad to be wrong. The human condition. It feels very bad to admit you've been wrong. And so you're just going to double down Donnie. And I think you're either a double down Donnie, which is fine, I get it, or you're a Bears fan. Like, there's really no, you run into somebody else, I don't think they're as comfortable. Like, I think Matt O's the perfect example. I think Matt O's the guy who, all Bears. Bears are going to be great. I think he even liked Caleb, but now he's starting to wonder, because I think he's objectively looking at it.
But yeah, then I'll go ahead and let you go, because I got to pick my daughter up. But all right. Last thing before I go is, yeah, I'm really surprised nobody's done a $50 super prediction on the board, whether or not Caleb cries, you know, in the NFL this season or not. So.
Woo! Who's grabbing that one? Who's grabbing that one? You should grab it. All right. Thank you, Chris. Appreciate you. Later.
Thank you.
Bye. All right. Rock out. You're live. Real quickly, imagine if Caleb got to the playoffs and lost in OT. Call your boy loud. He's just saying exactly what Chris is saying. That's so ironic. That was on screen when he said that. And Call Your Boy Loud just said it. $2 holler. Thank you, Call Your Boy, for dropping that. Rock out. What's up?
What's happening? Yeah, I basically think Caleb 100% bust in my mind. It was even before the crying. It was with when he wanted part ownership of the team. I was like, he's just full himself by who he thinks he is. And that when the game he cried, it wasn't even a playoff game. It was a regular season game. I'm like, if it's a playoff game, I kind of understand, but leaving in your mom's arms, not a good look.
Yeah. What this is funny. Colin Cowherd hated on Baker Mayfield for wearing a backwards hat and loves Caleb. Yeah, that is crazy. Like, when you think about that, Colin Cowherd did say to Baker, "You wear a backwards hat." I think he even called him out, didn't he, on TV or something? "He wears a backwards hat. You wear a backwards hat. I don't like that. I don't think my quarterback should wear a backwards hat." But yeah, he's fine with all these other things Caleb's doing. That is funny. That is a really, really good point. Big man said, little big man. Little big man dropping fire. That's a good one. That's a good one. I can't imagine Crybaby making the playoffs. I truly can't. Like, there's nothing wrong with crying. There's nothing wrong with crying, especially if something happens to somebody in life. Crying is, I'm not, there's nothing wrong with the man, a grown man crying, especially if, like, over a loved one, over an animal, over even losing a Super Bowl, if that's how you process the emotions, but you're doing it like, you're doing it in an upright style. You know what I mean? Like, how you do it is different. It doesn't matter that you cried. No one cares that IU cried after the Super Bowl. Have you ever heard me say a negative thing about Brandon Ayuk for crying at the Super Bowl? You have not. Have you ever heard me say a negative thing about Jordan holding the MVP or the finals trophy crying? You have not. Have you heard me say anything negative about anybody that's cried during a sport or during an emotional time or anything or even an injury? Tear your ACL. When I tore my ACL and snapped everything in my leg, my body, even though I wasn't weeping in my mom's arms and I wasn't weeping at all, my body, as I was screaming, I did have water coming out of my eyes, squeezing them out because I'm grimacing so much. And you could say those, if you want, those were tears. Maybe one of the few times I've cried was, you know, and you could say that. And I wasn't sobbing or weeping, but it was tears of pain that came out of my eyes because I was in such pain. Putting a towel over your head when you tear your ACL and your season's over and your career's over, or you're wondering if your career's over and you're crying a little bit. Have you ever heard me rip on a player for having a towel over their head and crying as they cart you out the field? You have not. That is not a problem. That is not a problem. But I don't know that I can, and I'm not saying that Caleb can't cry or weep in his mom's arms either. If he wants to do that, I'm not judging him for that. I'm saying I can't envision that this would be the player that becomes what everybody thinks he's going to become as a commander of a team, leading an entire team to the playoffs, to a Super Bowl, or just playoff victories, or just winning seasons, and commanding grown men in the locker room that are 28, 29, 31 years old that are just absolute, just dogs, ready to just absolutely eat an offense alive. Just absolute dogs. Because that's what the NFL is. It's not a bunch of college kids, you know. It's you're talking about grown men in here, and grown men that a couple have said from Chicago's locker room already that you better not bring that Hollywood stuff here. Like, why would you say that to your own incoming quarterback if you weren't a little worried? And then number two, they did say, but it's our job to prepare him and all that. But then I forget which defensive player said this. But then he came back. Coble with the YouTube membership. Appreciate Coble to the moon. But then the same guy that said that, I forget who it was. What defensive player said it. But then he ended up saying something along the lines of, but we got to push him and push his weaknesses, you know, and test him and put, you know, make them. So we're going to push his like buttons essentially. So it's like, oh my God, like, how is this going to shake out? I don't know. It'll be interesting.
Yeah, definitely be tested.
Yeah. Yeah, crying ain't no big.
I got more from a receiver than a quarterback.
Crying ain't no big deal. It's not about crying. It's funny when people say, oh, so-and-so cried. Okay. You aren't paying attention. That's okay. Thank you for the information. We appreciate that. We appreciate that. Purdy is a better leader than Caleb. For now, totally. Totally. Purdy's a great leader.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean he's top five money, but he's a great leader. Very good leader. Not to mention what Purdy's done. How he stepped in, he's got the respect and command of that locker room. They love this guy. They love him. They would go to war for him. Christian McCaffrey would cut off both his legs for Brock Purdy. Christian McCaffrey loves him. That is a player that has climbed up from the abyss and grabbed command and respect from his locker room. That I will tell you. I keep it real. Brock Purdy's an absolute gem in that department. Doesn't mean he's top five money, but you know, Caleb cries in Mama's lap now. Okay. What would be great for the Bears? In my opinion, only call Cowboys and trade for Trey Lance. I don't think you want that drama. You don't want that drama. First of all, whenever you trade for a quarterback, though, sorry, Nolan, I'm not trying to shoot down all your ideas today. But once you trade for a quarterback, it sends a message. You know, you don't want to send a message that you're requesting or wanting this quarterback. That doesn't, in my opinion, there's no crying on the Fantasy Football Show. I mean, like, look, if I cried because, let's say, you know, we lost a pet, I don't think you guys would judge me if I had a little tear in my eye because we lost a pet. I don't think anybody, like, so let me just put that out there, right? Is there a world where, you know, someone could cry and you'd not lose zero respect for him in my position? But if I got a Moon Man wrong and I cut to a scene over here, my mom walked in and she sat on the couch here and I just, hold on, guys. And I switched cameras and I climbed in her lap and I wept for about 2-3 minutes. She covered so you guys couldn't see my face and and I shook. Do you think my viewership will go down by 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80%? And I'm okay with an honest answer here, but is anybody gonna follow me into battle on Moon Men, Mars Men, and Fantasy Football predictions? Answer honestly. If I literally switched to the camera angle and climbed in my mother's lap and wept over a Moon Man prediction going bad, would you trust my Moon Man, Mars Man, and Saturn Man predictions ever again? And if you say yes, I'm gonna kick you out. You don't. If you say yes, you get out of here.
Okay.
Can you imagine? Can you? That's what happened. That's what happened. You know what I'm saying? That's so different than if you saw me cry because I lost an animal or, you know what I mean? Like who would follow me? Nobody. How could I lead anybody if mom? Hold on, Mama's here. Mama, Breece Hall tore his ACL. Mama. Mama.
Wow.
Mama. Move over, Mama. Let me get up. Ooh. Smitty, your viewers may go up. Then, but by the hundreds of trolls. Yeah, true. Trolls would come in by the dozens. We'd have more trolls.
Yeah.
Mama Smitty. Hey, Mama. Mama. Mama Dodson's so good. They don't give him the ball. Mama, come here.
You need a hug.
Christian, I could control Christian Watson's hamstrings. Mama. 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 I mean, defend it. Call somebody. Call in and defend it. I mean, really, I'm honestly, I'm asking for a friend. Someone call in and defend it. I'm not saying that you don't have a stance. I'm not going to try and belittle your take. Really, I just want to hear the argument. Like everybody handles it differently, but I'm asking you: would you follow me into battle when I say this guy is going to be a Mars man?
He's on a shuttle to Mars.
And I show you this screen with authority, and you have the vision, an image of me crawling into Mama's lap when one of these don't work out. Who's gonna follow me into battle?
That'd be hard.
I mean, Rockout would literally, I don't think Rockout would come back. I think Rockout would say, look, I thought Smitty was a little tougher than that. I thought Smitty would.
That's with your aura. That's with your aura.
We just went down after Smitty's crying session, pouting, sobbing session with Mama. We just went down YouTube exclusive members by 80%.
Our battleship went down.
The crying men.
The Moon Men dropping low.
If future Smitty saw now Smitty crying in Mama's lap, he'd say, "Get me a coffee, son. Let me take over the show. What is going on here?" And I'm not trying to say somebody that cries over losing is like horribly bad, okay? But and I'm not judging anybody, because I've made it abundantly clear, crawling in Mama's lap over a Moon Man prediction busting or losing a big game, I think they're very similar. I think the impact of that is equal. Is different than crying because you lost the Super Bowl, but you're upright, you're with your buddies, you might even like hug your buddy like this on the side and be like, God, you know. But I don't think there are a lot of people that wouldn't cry over losing the Super Bowl even still. They're pissed off. I would probably, to be quite frank with you, because I've been in sports before, I've lost big, track meets and things like that where I pulled a hamstring and I couldn't run. I'm pissed off and angry and I'm ready to get to work. I don't have that reaction. I don't blame people for having it, but I certainly don't, if I can't really fully understand that reaction, I definitely can't understand the sobbing part in Mama's lap. I just can't. Jungle says, "Calm down, baby. Mama's gonna paint your nails." Cobble with a $2. Caleb misses the moon, crashes into Bus City. I'm not gonna put him on Planet Uranus, but maybe we do need a bus list. Maybe that's where Pluto is. Even though it's the furthest, object, it's not an actual planet. It's a dwarf planet. It is as cold as hell over there. It's small. It's cold as hell. It's out in the middle of nowhere. Maybe like a nomad black hole is where you could throw a player. Or into the space-time continuum or something like that. I don't know. Anything else, Rock Out?
That's about it. Appreciate it.
All right. Appreciate you, bro. Later. No, let's make Pluto a planet again. The problem with Pluto is I've tried to do a Pluto and it creates more questions every time I put it up. So we're never going to do Pluto because there's too many negatives to it. Like, hey, Smitty, it's not even a planet. Hey, Smitty, it's small. Hey, it's really cold. And so like you have to explain it every time you put it up. So Pluto's out. Jupiter is probably 2025. And that may or may not be the last planet we add. But Jupiter is the final. Ziggy, what's the furthest planet from the sun?
Today, the farthest planet by distance from Earth in the solar system is Neptune.
Or Neptune.
2.863 billion miles from Earth.
I didn't mean Jupiter. Neptune. Neptune is 2.77 million miles from... We don't have a Jupiter, though. Jupiter to get more stupider. We technically could add Jupiter and Neptune, I suppose. Planet Uranus. Yeah, we got that.
And off he goes to the planet known as Uranus.
All right, let's hit the news and see if there's anything else. Buckeye dropping a $5 holler. Smitty, I just got offered the 1.4 for my 1.9 in Debo. Woo! 1 QB league. I currently have 1.2, 8, 9, 10. Is that a good trade? So 1.4, 1.9 in Debo. In a 1 QB league, you're not going to have one of the big three receivers, I bet. But you'll have Bowers. Or you could have Odunze if the Bowers, assuming it's not tight end premium. If it's tight end premium, then Bowers will for sure be gone and you get Odunze. Bowers and Debo over... Or no, not Bowers and Debo. Bowers or Debo and the 1.9, which could be... God, that could be anything. It could be, like, let's say McConkey or... McConkey or Leggett. You know, or maybe running back one, but if it's a great landing spot like Dallas, like it's Braylon Allen to Dallas, he'll probably go before 1.9. So if there's a great running back one, I don't think you get him at 1.9. You never know. I'd probably lean toward... Jeez, man. I probably... If you think you could trade the 1.9 up, using like second rounders or something, I'd be very tempted on that side. But I think I'd rather have the 1.4. And I don't stop trying to move it up. Coble, a black hole or space-time continuum or purgatory will definitely come up with something potentially for like a bust list. But, you know, planet Uranus is pretty good as well, though. Mercury, men, players going up in flames. Yeah, Mercury is right next to the Earth, and that's why it's like a ball of like burnt rock. You know, I think the crust is very, very thin because it's just been torched by the sun, Mercury. The Mercury men. But it also would be confusing to people, though, because they'd be like, but they're a planet. Are they good or bad? So I don't know that we can put anybody on a planet other than Uranus. Because planet Uranus, as some people call it and pronounce it, planet Uranus is definitely like, you know, that's a bad planet. So there's no question. But like Mercury, people wouldn't necessarily, they'd be like, Mercury's cool, right? So I don't think that would be. But Neptune, Jupiter, those are potentially coming. At least one of them will next year. Appreciate you guys dropping the super chats. Appreciate everybody in the building. Let me see if there's any news before we jump out of here. I've got 220 people in the building, 100 from YouTube. Please punch the thumb up button. Only half of you have. I got 100 over on Twitter. Appreciate every single one of you. Is there anything else going on Twitter? JJ McCarthy, the Patriots are having dinner with Michigan quarterback JJ McCarthy tonight. There you go, Travis. Let me see if there's anything else going on in the world of the NFL. New England Patriots, Juju Smith-Schuster exposed himself today on his Snapchat while in a car. I don't know if that's true. It's hard. Today's hard to read some of these news pieces because like you're not sure what. We'll come back to that one. I don't know if that one's true. That was coming from NFL rumors on Twitter. Jeez. Sadder men in fantasy football are the best because they help us get rings. Exactly, Chris from Vegas. And, you know, Saturn is like the coolest planet. That's why I almost kind of don't want to make one further. But if we do create a Jupiter, then... then all of a sudden Saturn men aren't the furthest one. So Neptune. I keep saying Jupiter. Neptune. Waiting for the Rice news to go from 14. It's going to go up to at least the 14 counts. Is this news true by Juju Smith-Schuster? Can anybody confirm? Can anybody find this on Juju? There's memes all over, though. Someone said they saw Juju Smith-Schuster's trending. It seems like it could be real. I don't know. Anybody want to look it up? See if the Juju Smith-Schuster news that's trending right now is real. I only see one report on it. I think people are afraid to report on it today. Uh, 49ers King says it is true. That Juju Smith-Schuster thing is true, says Nathan. Man. Crazy. All right, ladies and gentlemen, appreciate you all for being in here. If anybody wants to call in real quickly before the show ends, I will answer your call real quickly on the way the credits are rolling, and I'll come back and answer your call. If you've got a quick question, I'll be here to answer. Until then, I'll probably be live tonight. I hope to be live on the main channel and the Dynasty channel, but we need to do a Dynasty channel for sure tonight. So please get on over to my youtube.com/DynastyFantasyFootball and youtube.com/TheFantasyFootballShow. Appreciate you all. Yeah, NFL will suspend Juju before Rice. Not if the team just releases him, then they can kind of like hold back for a little bit. Yeah, honestly, you should be suspended as Rasheed Rice before Juju Smith-Schuster. I'll lose it if they suspend Juju Smith-Schuster over Rasheed Rice. There's one of your top receivers there, Travis. Poor Travis, man. Poor Travis is, you know, the guy can't catch a break at the wide receiver position in New England. Unbelievable. YouTube.com/DynastyFantasyFootball. YouTube.com/TheFantasyFootballShow. Don't forget to get on over to my content site, rankings, bold predictions, trade calculators, everything you can think of, TheFantasyFootballShow.com. All of these links are in the description of this video. And don't forget to get on over to Underdog Fantasy. We'll be drafting. In fact, why don't we get into a little draft real quick? A little drafty poo real quickly, ladies and gentlemen. And I'll maybe just start the draft, but I'm certainly not going to draft the entire thing live right now. But we'll jump into a private draft together right this very second. Let me create the draft link right this second. And if you click the link, you'll sign up under Underdog Fantasy promo code Smitty by just using the link. If you download the app and you don't use the link, please make sure you enter code Smitty when it asks you, how did you hear about us? You just enter code Smitty. Why are there not slow drafts anymore, though? That part is a little bit bothersome because, like, I used to always... Okay, we'll do a $3 12-person draft. Create a private draft. This will be 30-second timer. You can't do slow ones. I'm just warning everybody. Okay, I've copied the link right now. I'm going to post the link in the live chat. This will get you right into this specific league. It's not one of the big prize leagues. It's going to be $32 and prizes $3 to get in. And we do enough of these that it will add up. If you're winning, you're getting 20 plus bucks every pop. It's going to, at the end of the year, like I had like several hundred dollars by doing dozens of these drafts. And it was kind of a nice little like, whoa, my account just went up by 300 or 400 bones. Just like that. Here's the link. That'll get you in. That'll do it live. I'll put the draft on screen real quick while I wait for you guys all to join. 11 more spots currently because I just posted it. And there's a little bit of a YouTube delay. 8 more spots. You guys are filling it fast. I don't know if it can even show. I think I got to restart my computer. So I can't even show the draft right now. But click that link right now. Jump into the draft with me. 8 more to start. If we don't get... Let me post this to my stories as well. Let me post this. I'll even record myself right here. Join this draft right now. We're all jumping in. Private league with your boy Smitty. Do it live. Hit the link right here. 11 of you with me going the course of the season, battling it out. Click the link, Underdog Fantasy, promo code Smitty. The link inserts code Smitty for you. Jump in. Okay. That's me creating an Instagram live right there, or Instagram reel. I'm going to post the link there now. Hopefully we fill it really quickly, and I may let it fill while we're, let's see here, let me just post this real quick and we'll get right into this draft. Join this league with me. There we go. Okay, posted. Link's right there. We're trying to fill this draft up. I just dropped it. If anybody missed the show, rewatch it. Joe Burrow ready to rumble. T. Higgins anticipates staying, but we believe, we couldn't quite make out what he said, but I think he said, we'll see. And let me just go back to the draft. It looks like we need five more to start the draft. Five more to start the draft. Five more to start the draft. Who wants in? Who wants in? Link's in the live chat. Link is sitting there right for you, for the taking. Five spots left. Four spots left. This is a league. It'll go the distance the entirety of the season. Here's the link one more time. So is Burrow going to be cigar-smoking Joe this year? I believe he will. I believe he will. At 6-7 round cost of entry, I'm not worried about it, right? You can draft like an equal counterpart in case he was to go down. Like, you could literally get Aaron Rodgers, Joe Burrow, and Justin Fields and have a pretty crafty QB room and a one QB. You could go Fields, Joe. I think Fields will be a perfect complement to Joe Burrow. Like, just not even as your QB2, as your QB3. Not to mention he could play like this sort of like Taysom Hill role. You know, like, I'll be doing videos on draft Fields just for, we don't know what he's going to do. How he's going to be used if he doesn't take the job right away. But Fields with Burrow and then grab an Aaron Rodgers, or I'm a big believer in three quarterbacks. I hate this notion that you, in a one QB, you should only draft two QBs. Get out of here with that garbage. Three QBs always. Look at all the injuries that happened last year. All those injuries. Joe Burrow, Aaron Rodgers, Kirk Cousins. I mean, AR5. The list went on and on and on. Always draft three QBs. Always. Always anticipate that someone's going to need a trade. Always. Four more to start. Let me go ahead and DM this link out to a few different chat groups. This should fill it pretty quickly. There, that should fill it. We should get it filled really quickly now. I just sent it to about 150 people real quickly. Four more to start. Watch this thing fill up. Four more to start. Here we go. Here we go. Everyone's getting the message right now. We got Bobby Big Meat in the draft. We got Liquid Gold. We got Hod Prime. We got New Something Laws. We got Superfish. We got Curb, and we've got Hef in here. Four more to start. I'll see you all later. We should fill it really quickly. It'll start right when it's full. 30-second timer. See you all tonight. I'll be live at least on the Dynasty channel, but I'm going to try and go live on this channel as well, the main channel here. YouTube.com/TheFantasyFootballShow. YouTube.com/DynastyFantasyFootball. Appreciate every single one of you. Hit the like button on the way out the door. Leave a comment on the video. Thank you very much.